All right, Romans 16. I appreciate you tuning in and being part. I was watching some of my, I got this long email from Michelle and Scott about soul sleep and all that, and it was rather fascinating, and they didn't totally agree with me, and they wrote me all these verses and stuff, and, you know, I appreciate people writing whether they agree or disagree. That's not the issue. The issue is check it out, you know. I've come to the conclusion of what I believe by based upon studying and studying and studying and studying. And I am prone to accidents and misinterpretations of scriptures. But that one I'm pretty sure I'm right on. I wouldn't have preached it unless I felt that confident. But the realization is the denominational system, whatever that includes, they all can't be right. Somebody is wrong. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And I want to draw the picture back. I don't think, Robert, were you there when we were talking about when you die, do you go to heaven? I think you were out that series. Okay, good. When you think of heaven, what do you think of? Pearly gates. And streets of? And big houses or little houses?
Mansions.
You know, so we hear that over and over again, over and over and again, over and over again. And we get this concept in our mind of what heaven is. And as I was studying it, most of us heard that in churches that taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they don't go to heaven at all. Israel is going to be resurrected into a kingdom. Their hope is never heaven. It's never been heaven. Ever. Y'all understand? All the people of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were planning to be resurrected into a kingdom. Yet the doctrine where we got, quote, heaven from came from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Which just doesn't make sense in itself. But if you really think about doctrine, I don't know if any of these work any better, but let me try. That's the cross. Jesus Christ in the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God is preparing Israel for their hope. You all understand? That's what it's all about. It's about preparation for Israel's hope. And the doctrine here, compared to the doctrine after the book of Acts, all the way to Acts chapter 9, I'm going to put that here. There are similarities between these two. Why? He's trained 12 men over here that take over the ministry there. You understand? So in the first part of the book of Acts, we have a similar doctrine. Is it exactly the same? No, it changed after the testator died some, right? But then you have the saving of the Apostle Paul. And that is in the books of Romans through Philemon. Now, the reason I say that is it talks about, how many has heard the term rapture? Most of the people in here. Well, that happens at the end of that book, but there's still more book left. There are the books of Hebrews through Revelation, which deals with the 7 years of tribulation. How many here has heard of the tribulation?
Amen.
Just about everybody in here. I'm sure you all are raising your hand on the internet at home, too. That's a different doctrine than this doctrine for the church. And then you have a 1,000-year reign of Christ where he's going to reign on his throne for 1,000 years. You got it? That's what's going to happen in your Bible. That's how your Bible is laid out. And all that matters in your Bible is the doctrine. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. Are you following the right doctrine? Are you following the right leader? Are you following, you know, the right truth? You with me? That's all that matters. You cannot follow Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and follow Romans through Philemon 100%. It's impossible. Go to Romans 16, verse 17, we'll start. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Underline the word doctrine. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and hang out with them. Avoid them. Huh? Avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and okay speeches. That was a joke. Fair speeches. Doesn't even take a good speech. Deceive the heart of the what? They're persuaded. Because they don't know the doctrine. They don't know the doctrine. So they don't know what to believe. They don't know whether you die and go to heaven. They don't know what's going on. How can you teach death, burial, and resurrection into heaven in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when none of the people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are going to heaven? Can you answer that, Missy? How do you do that? I mean, I don't even know how to do that. Do you not, Debbie? How do you do that? They're not going to heaven yet. That's where they got taught how to go to heaven. They're confused in doctrine. They mix it up. And you know what? Most of us were mixed up. You know, it's like, I heard that. Was that true? You know? Go to Ephesians. Chapter 4, and read with me if you will. I'm just going to cut in the context, verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of... you see that word again, doctrine? You know, people are confused. Now, if you all on the internet would like, can you get a close-up of this, please? Are you on an A-B switch? Bring it in close. I want it in tight. All right. This right here, we will send you, if you will email me at pastorhampton@gmail.com, we will send you a copy of this. This is 16 pages on baptism. It's to explain the doctrine. You know what? If you had this in your Bible and you had it understood, and you wouldn't be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So how many here would like a copy of this? All right. Would you make about 10 copies and bring them to the back? You can make 11 by 17, though, can't you? Why don't you make them like this so they're more book-like form? How many? Raise your hand again.
1, 2,
about 10. Yeah, I would say 10. And if we need more, we'll just do more. But if you all on the internet, you can text me or you can email me. Why? The baptism of doctrine makes a difference. The baptism of where you going when you die makes a difference. How you get saved makes a difference. All those doctrines mean something, but they may not mean it all for you. May mean it for Israel. So we don't want to be any more children doing what? Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to to deceive. Well, people don't know their Bible, so wouldn't it be easy to deceive people? Let's use tongues. Tongues look spiritual. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, it's in the Bible. Even Paul talks about speaking in tongues. But unless you know the doctrine of tongues, you get confused. What do I mean? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians 14. Grab both of those passages at one time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to give you the basic doctrine right here, real quick, real simple. How many is confused whether that's spiritual or not? How many of you have seen someone speak in tongues? How many thought that was weird or they weren't sure what was going on? You thought it was weird? You did too? You thought it was weird?
I did because I did it.
Yeah, he was weird. He'd have done anything to join that church. You know what he spoke when he spoke in tongues? He says, I ate my mother's food really good. You did what? I ate my mother in the I ate my mother's food really good. What?
I saw a special on Buddha and they were speaking in tongues.
Absolutely.
That looks just like what they do in my church.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. But hold on. What is the doctrine? Let's not get emotional about this. What is the doctrine? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Everybody read it with me. For the Jews require a sign. You got it? Are you a Jew?
No.
Other than Jim in here.
No.
I mean, listen, Jim's so tight, he makes the door squeak. No, I'm kidding about that. He is part Jew.
Yeah, probably about 20%.
Yeah, and that 20% takes over 80% of the work, trust me.
80-20 roof, right?
Let's try it again. For the Jews require a sign. Any problem? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Wherefore, everybody, tongues are for a sign. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. I have written in my Bible right there if I was you. The Jews require... What we're talking about is the difference of doctrine. 1 Corinthians 14, 22 and 1 Corinthians 1, 22. If you compare that, the Jews require a sign. Wherefore... Tongues are for a sign. Who would the tongues be for?
Jews.
That's pretty clear, isn't it?
That's right.
So if there aren't any Jewish people, should we be speaking in tongues?
No.
No, I mean right there you got, you know, the tongues would be for the Jews. In fact, they needed signs all along, didn't they? Yes, Debbie.
But today, in the churches, they're using tongues as a sign for the Holy Ghost, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's the thing. We know what the tongues are for. Even when Gentiles spoke in tongues, what was it for? A sign for who? The Jew. Why? It was a Jewish church, boys and girls. Go to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. Matthew. Matthew 10. Go to Matthew 10. Verse 5. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. How many?
12.
How many tribes of Israel?
12.
How many thrones to Israel?
12.
How many gates in the new city Jerusalem?
12.
How many prophetic months?
12.
Who does that all connect with?
Israel.
These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the
Gentiles.
Well, the doctrine there is he's telling the 12, don't go in the way of the Gentiles. Amen?
Amen.
That's not complicated. Is that complicated? That may be hard to believe because we've always heard that Jesus just came for everybody. But that isn't the case. Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Why would they do that? The Jews require a sign. I would put in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 right there in my Bible if I was you. The Jews require a sign. Right? Why would they be doing healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead? The Jews require a sign. Did they always? Yeah, how about when Moses wanted to lead them out of he said, they're not going to believe me. Tell them that I am sent thee. He said, I don't care what I say. They're never going to believe me. He said, put your hand in your bosom. Pull it out. Yikes! It had leprosy. Put it back in. Clean and pure as snow. So, well, you know, they're going to need something bigger than this. He threw down the rod. That rod turned into a snake. Said, pick it back up. You know how he picked it up? They were running around and that snake was chasing him. He grabbed his tail. You don't grab a snake by the tail, you know. He grabbed it by, turned back into a stick. What do you think about that? Signs. The Jews require a sign. But you know what it said? The Greek, that'd be you guys kind of, seek after wisdom. So you get it by knowledge. The Jews get it by what? Signs. They haven't quite got this verse down. Verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse. They think that was an Old Testament statement. Nor script for your journey. Most of them have a planned script. Neither two coats. And I bet you every preacher in here, preacher Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, has more than two coats. How much you want to bet? What did God say? He said He commanded the 12. Say, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, I command you, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, freely you give, freely give, provide yourself. God commanded them, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats nor... Well, how come they're doing that? If the doctrine of the commandment of God was not to do those things, why are they doing it? See, they're tossed. They don't know. They're tossed to and fro. That was almost a good little dance, wasn't it? Huh? I'm like, hey, I'm... You know what Jeff was thinking? Stop, preacher. You cannot dance. There's one thing I can tell you about white guys. They don't have rhythm and they don't dance. Amen, that's true. Oh, a few of them can sing. Jeff, but we think he's part black. He's got everything. You know. And not like me, you know. I'm so white it's ridiculous, you know. I'm having to tap both feet just to keep one rhythm, you know. It's terrible. You know, hey, listen, guys. He commanded them. The doctrine was don't do that. You know why? I'll provide. I'll take care of you. You know what? Paul doesn't tell you that. Look what he says. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. How do you do these things at the same time?
Hey, Barry, everybody heading for Lake Gunnersville, to the conference in Chattanooga, packing suitcases and putting extra money in their pocket.
I said 1 Thessalonians. I want 2 Thessalonians. I'm sorry. This part of the sermon is brought to you by Diet Coke. Diet Coke, the refreshing drink for grace preachers. I ought to be able to get an endorsement for that, don't you think? At least a case a week from Coca-Cola.
We'll keep doing hits like that.
All right, just hand me pure scotch then. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, everybody read with me in verse 10. For when we were with you this, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he
eat.
Man, requirement. Over here he told him not to work. Not to even take anything. I'll take care of you. Look again in Luke 24. He reiterates it there. Look in Luke 24. I mean, no, that if you didn't believe God was going to take care of your brother, you'd be starving. But God took care of Elijah. I'd be skinny. Wouldn't be starving. Luke 20, where did I say? I wanted Luke 20... I did say Luke 24. I want Luke 12. 24. Verse 24. This is what he says. This is the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap. What would that be?
Work.
What did Paul just said? This we command you, if you do not work,
you ain't gonna eat.
I would put 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10 right there if I was you in your Bible. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, they neither have storehouses or barn, and God feedeth them. Jeff, how much more are you better than the fowl? And the answer would be a whole lot. We're not an animal. We're made in the image of the Creator of heaven and earth, Genesis chapter 2. I don't know where that came from. Of which of you, with talking, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you're not able to do that that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies. How they grow. They toil not. What is toil?
Work.
They spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glories was not arrayed like one of these. And if God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and the morrow cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith, Jeff? See, I mean, the doctrine was God's going to take care of you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just chill out and relax. You know what Paul says? If you don't work, you're not going to eat. Well, which doctrine do you want to follow? I think I'm going to try this laying back stuff. All right, go ahead and try that for a little bit. Let's see how it works for you. Next thing you'll know, you'll want your SSI check. Amen? You'll want that Social Security check coming in. Oh, I've laid out long enough. I should get paid for my laying out now. You wonder what's wrong with our government? We got laying out checks. You know what? If you don't work, you don't eat. I think we ought to do away with welfare, don't you? Say, look, we'll give you a check, but we want you to do this for that check. We don't want you to stay home. We're going to pay you. Come on out and join the workforce. Do something to add to America. Wouldn't that be a better way? See, God's done that from the very get-go. Look, if you don't work, you don't eat. Back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John day, it'd be, hey, sit back. Don't worry. God's going to take care of you. Now, which one's right? See, some people think there's that guy that's walking around with a cross, sold out everything he had. You know, he walks from side coast to coast carrying his burdens.
The one with the wheel.
It lightened his burden just a little bit, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you don't see is inside that wood is a little motor that pushes that wheel that helps him go. When he starts getting slow, he just pushes the throttle.
I know there's some heels he's got to push hard to get up, he ain't got some help.
That's right. Guys, listen to me. The doctrine is different in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you don't consider that, you might be trying to do something that's doctrinally to a Jew and not to you. Say, what else? Well, he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles, right? Yeah, look at Paul, Romans chapter 11. You got to go the right direction here. Romans 11. Verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. We have 12 apostles given to who? Israel. One per tribe, right? Then we have one apostle given to one body, one church, one hope, one faith, one baptism, one body, both Jew and Gentile, and it's the Apostle Paul, and he's given to the who? Now, at least you got to say that's fascinating. Is that not fascinating?
Amen.
All of a sudden, 12 men, 12 men, 12 men, 12 men, lose one, add one, 12 men, 12 men, 12 men, then one. Out here on his own. And he writes 13 books. 13, the number of rebellion. He's out killing people, which there is no sacrifice under the Old Testament law that you could be saved by. He's a blasphemer, in which there is nothing that you can do back here to be forgiven. Watch. Go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. I think so. I'll try to get there before you and check it out. Therefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, read it with me, shall not be forgiven unto men. Well, guess what Paul was? Look at this. Go to 1 Timothy. I want to start in verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, the disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, men stealers, liars, prejudiced persons, if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. There we go again. According to the glorious Gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. Well, that doctrine, he couldn't be saved under Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You all understand that? There would have been no salvation to Paul under Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Who was before a blasphemer. Now, I would put, if I was a smart Bible student, Matthew 12, verse 31 and 32 in my Bible, and Acts 7, 54 through 60, where it actually happened. You got that? Acts chapter 7, 54 through 60. What's your friend's name? I forgot her name. Diane. Are you getting any of this? Thank you. I just don't want you to come and not get any. It's useless. Matthew 12:31-32 and Acts 7:54-60. He was before a blasphemer. According to Matthew chapter 12, could he be forgiven? No, but under the doctrine of grace, can he be forgiven? That's the point. The doctrine back here would not allow him to get saved. You either. But with the announcement of grace, even blasphemers can get saved. One little hallelujah be?
Hallelujah.
I'm having to force it.
Amen.
You know? Now, going back to that sign issue, the Jews require a sign, right? Come on down in 38. No, we're back in Matthew. What's wrong with you? All been drinking aspartame or eating too much sugar? Your EFP's not working good today. You guys should have known there was no 38 in Timothy. I see you guys haven't been reading Timothy enough to... Sorry about that. Who yawned? Was it you?
Yeah. Hey, it's been a long weekend.
Brother, I understand. Me too. All right, 38. Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Who seeks after a sign?
Jews.
The Jews. Boy, I'd put 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 there. Aren't you guys getting some? Hey, this is fun, isn't it? Anybody having fun? Hannah's not having any fun because she's not writing her notes.
My pen went out.
Open the Bible. Let's get the thing. How old are you now? 22? How old are you really?
Where are we?
Oh, Matthew 12, verse 38, and we're on now 39. Think you could join the class. Look at your brother.
He's had a hard weekend, too.
And Jeff thought he had a rough weekend.
I might join him in a minute.
There, scoot over, Seth. Oh, I am tired too. I'll catch you in just a minute, okay? I feel much better, thank you.
Too much ESP.
You know what? I can tell you, you guys, this is better than going to a Baptist church. Amen?
Amen.
You can go to sleep if you want, Jeff. We'll just laugh at you. And this is the kind of church this is. If you fall asleep, I will go home and get the shaving cream and then tickle your nose. 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after... You know what? If we need signs today, what would we be?
Evil.
Why? The Greeks seek after wisdom. Well, you're a lot of things that we can't say here. All right, you all got that? He was a blasphemer under the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What would be the hope of Paul? None. Over here under grace? Hope. Over here, they weren't supposed to what? Work. Over here, he says, if you don't work,
you don't eat.
Which one do you, people say, well, I believe in doing whatever Jesus told me to do. Really? Let's try these for a little bit of size. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Now, I'm not saying this would be necessarily any of the men in this church. But let me tell you, if this doctrine was true, we'd be reading Braille. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said of by them of old times, Genesis through Malachi, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that is the Lord, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her, hath what? And he says in verse 29, if thy right eye offend thee, how many fingers am I holding up, Jeff? You haven't plucked it out, did you? All right, Norm, how many fingers? He's still got one good eye. You see, if that was true today, there'd be a bunch of blind people in this room. Amen?
Amen.
But that doctrine isn't for us today. Why? We've been forgiven. Well, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain and He washed it white as snow. But if this doctrine was true today, that Baptist, fundamental Baptist preacher that was so great on Christian right went out and had a homosexual relationship? Yeah, y'all, it was on national news. Ted. You know what it would have sounded like around his church? Pluck, pluck, pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Oh, pluck, pluck, pop. You know, Ada had to pluck him out teaching the doctrine he taught. And Jimmy Swagger's another one teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, running around with a hoe. Now listen, I'm not saying all hoes are bad. I'm just saying that if you were in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you glanced at her and lusted after her, you have committed adultery. And the Bible said, are you listening to me? The Bible says, pluck out your eye.
Amen.
Well, I believe in what would Jesus do? WWJD. He'd have you to pluck your eyes out.
But it makes a nice wristband.
Do you all understand? People say, I believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't either believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be in a whole heap of trouble. Thank God for the grace age. Huh? Pluck, pluck.
No, I'm saying, how do they keep from doing it? Where,
By plucking it. Once you plucked it, how many girls are you going to lust after? No, but he gave a new set to somebody, didn't he?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Look, pluck out your eye. Why? It would be better that one of your members would perish and that not the whole body be cast into hell. Now, I'm just telling you, that was the doctrine of it. Now, they did get the unction, and they have special powers to do things we're not capable of doing. But nevertheless, you can go against that, and who's an example of that? Ananias and Sapphira. They were told to sell out. Remember that? Go to Luke chapter 12, verse 33. And this will be our last comparison, although there's literally, I could do this all day long for hours. You want to test me? Huh? Luke 12.
Could you do it for 5 hours?
Probably. Would you pay for me to keep around that long?
If you furnish lunch.
Oh. Always wanting something free. He's still a Jew. There are hundreds, literally. And it just keeps going. And eventually you just have to throw up your hands. What are people thinking? And you know what it is? They're not thinking. They're thinking heaven is pearly gates, streets of gold, and mansions. Why? Because we've been told that for how long? Forever? Can anybody, I know where it is, but can anyone give me where the mansions are mentioned? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
John 14.
Yeah, John 14. Very good. Can anyone tell me where the streets of gold are mentioned?
Revelation 21:10.
You know? I mean, you take out of Romans 3, Philemon, you find it in there one time?
No.
Never hear it one time, not once. All right, are y'all in Luke 2, 12? 33. Sell that you have and give alms. Is that ambiguous or vague? Sell that you have. Now, Rick's tried this. Stan's tried this. There's been a few that have tried this along the way. How's it working for you? Sell that you have and give alms. Oh, you forgot the one part. You sell that you have, but you got to give it alms. Bring them here. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, or treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approach, nor moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So they were told to do what?
Sell out.
Sell out. Go to Acts chapter 2. The people that were absolutely the closest to him did this. We're just about to end. Acts 2, verse 44. And all that believed together had all things common and sold their possessions and goods. Why? Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Write that in your Bible. Sorry. Time if you remember, and then went.
I didn't hit the switch fast enough.
It's really weird when you see things floating in your water. There was three of them, but they were down to two.
A little extra protein. Just a little extra protein.
My wife made this water for me.
Maybe she's trying to tell you something.
I wish there were still three in there. I'm not sure what these are. You know what's weird is when they're slick, they go right down. But if they're a little fuzzy bug, they get hung up pretty bad. I was sucking sucking one in at Bible camp. You know, we would preach at night, and there was a light right above the pulpit, and those things would, and man, you just take a deep breath, and it was like, whoa. You know, but then I realized that I could always start that show like that guy that goes around eating everything. What's his name? Oh, my gosh. I'm eating flyless ants or whatever he ate the other day. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But after a couple Bible camps, I might be able to do it. Where was I? 44, 45. Did we read that? So they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Go to Acts chapter 4. I think we ought to keep this doctrine intact. Well, I want to jump down a little bit here. Verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses. Why? Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Put it in there. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. And I'll give you another one just to tease you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And Matthew 19, verse 16. You'll be so smart when you whip out those Bible verses. People go, where do you go to church? They think Jim's a preacher. Everywhere he goes, man, you really know something. But you know what Paul says? They told you not to lay up, right? Sell all that you have, right? Who laid up a little, by the way? Ananias and Sapphira, what happened? They died. in judgment, guys. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll end here this morning. I hate to end it, don't you? But we all have to have our afternoon nap, especially Jeff. I love my afternoon nap. Don't call between 2 and 4. I take a long one and finish watching the golf when I wake up. Except when he comes over. Miss the Masters. I mean, the... He said in verse 14, "Behold, the third time I'm ready to come unto you, I'll not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Is Paul telling you to lay up money for your children?
Amen.
Well, how can you lay up at the exact same time you're selling out? What? Gene, are you sure? Well, which one do you think is right? Who's your apostle? They're both right. But yours is right because your apostle wrote that to you to do. That's the doctrine for the church. That's the doctrine for the body of Christ. So you're to lay up for your children, not your children laying up. So all those that want to become dependent upon their children when they get old, wrong concept. And by the way, if you have kids like mine, you will starve to death. What?
Or lose your appetite.
Yeah, lose your appetite. Yeah. If you have kids like me, you'll be puking all the time. We'll cover a little bit more of these divisions, and eventually you're going to have to say, well, what is it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that I actually believe? That's what's going to start happening, and then you'll realize that all your friends are confused. You know what you have to do? Go to your friends and sit down with them and sincerely show them. And that takes a little bit of work. But we're glad you're here today.